Welcome to The Listening Way, a place for gentle conversations on how listening shapes our way of being in the world. I'm Dusk from The Listening Squad, where we believe that every person needs to be heard. The Listening Way is made on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Bunurong land. We acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander custodians of this land and their deep wisdom and practice of listening. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging. In this episode, I've invited a guest host to interview me and explore my listening way. To share a little bit more about who I am, I come from a lineage of women who have lived their lives with strength, love, and joy. I am a daughter and granddaughter of migrants. My grandparents moved here from Holland and my dad came from New Zealand, and I have lived my whole life on Wurundjeri land. I am a space holder, spiritual companion, birth doula, and matrescence facilitator, and I embody these at the Listening Squad and at the Listening Mama. My way of being in the world is weaved with presence. Today, I share my own journey of meeting my untold stories and how that has shaped my love of listening. Our guest host is Andrew Woff, a listening mentor and teacher of mine. Andrew has been a pastoral leader for over 3 decades and currently works at the St Kilda Baptist community. Andrew is a spiritual director and trains spiritual companions as part of Wellspring's formation team where I've studied. One of the most treasured things I remember Andrew teaching me in one of our first classes is that listening is not the vehicle to the gift. Listening is the gift itself. So with our shared love of listening, Andrew has graced today's episode with his gentle listening way. It's a very special one and I'm excited to share it with you now.
Dusk, welcome to your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
To be with you in this conversation and to welcome you into this space and to welcome all those other people who are listening in on our conversation.
Thank you.
So, Dusk, can I start with asking you, what's one of your strongest memories or experiences of listening?
I had so many different moments come to mind, but when we started our conversation, the one that rose to the surface is of me sitting 2 metres from where I sit right now in about 2014 on my porch swing. My life had, I was going to say crumbled, now I might say it had just begun. I think that I had hit what I could now call burnout pretty confidently. I think I resisted that term for a long time because I didn't even feel like I could claim my own truth.
Yes.
But that was my experience. And I had hit emotional overload, not from the stories of others, but from my own story. My own unheard story had just gotten louder and louder and louder within me over the years until I couldn't function. My body had broken down and I was completely empty because I had poured my life out in my work and in the world around me, but I hadn't tended to my own story.
Yes.
In a deep way. I had tended to it over the years, absolutely. I'd been in beautiful holding spaces, I'd been in counselling, but the only way I could describe it is that, you know, all of those years I'd been digging and then I hit clay. And, you know, when you're in the garden. I mean, I don't have the experience of this myself. I've watched my partner Ben do it. But when you hit clay, what it takes to dig that clay, to break that soil,
yes,
it it takes all of your body and all of you in that present moment. And that's where I had arrived in my own story. And so I took some time off and I thought, I'll just take 3 months off and then I'll, you know, get my health back and then I'll get back to it, maybe not as intensely as before.
Yep.
But what I encountered within myself was just a deep longing to be heard by me. Because for so long I had, I'd heard the stories of others and I'd shared my story, but I don't think I had met myself within it. And so I would sit each day on my porch swing for 5 minutes and I would just sit with a cup of tea and I'd say to myself, I only have to listen to myself for as long as it takes me to drink this cup of tea. And when I would sit with myself, it was painful.
Yes.
Because what I found there was that loud voice of my story that I hadn't fully embraced or acknowledged within myself. And so I would sit there and I would struggle. I would be distracted. I would think of 1,000 different things.
Yes.
But I met myself there each day on that chair with that cup. And slowly, I would say over a year, I heard myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to sit more comfortably or less uncomfortably.
Yes.
With my truth and my story and who I was in that time, and just learn to be at peace in that present moment with what I heard.
So amidst all the crumbling and burnout, Dusk, as you sat on your porch swing, it sounds like to hear yourself was not easy, almost like the hard clay. You were, there was a lot of self-protection in this space, and yet there was some deep invitation from within that this was what, this was the pathway towards some kind of healing. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't think I knew it at the time. I just felt this. Well, I would say it was like I'd been circling the drain for years of listening and I was just like going round and round and I'd go on a retreat here and I'd, you know, have a patch of counselling there or, you know, but just circling until I was ready, you know, to really just let go and see where the journey of deep listening would take me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Dusk, go with this as far as you want to. As you sat on your porch swing and drank your tea, what were the things that you began to hear from within yourself? What were the bits of the story, the unheard bits of the story that needed to surface?
That's such a big, beautiful question. And even now I feel my resistance to it. I feel one part of me resisting and I feel another part of me almost like the part of me then resists and the part of me now says to that other part, it's okay.
Mm.
You know, we've embraced all that was and stand strong in what is now.
Mm.
So for me, you know, a huge part of my story is that I'm a survivor of childhood abuse. And I went through many seasons of telling my story and it not being heard, telling my story and people hearing it, but me not hearing it.
Yes.
And I think this time on the porch was this integration of me telling my story again and it being so heard by my community and me.
Yes.
And then those cups of tea, that time of listening was that integration of hearing myself and receiving that acknowledgement from others and being able to integrate being witnessed into my life, so that that loud story that was, you know, resounding within me could find voice.
Yes.
And then I could hear what else was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it sounds like the listeners, as you began to befriend your story, Dusk, were both a community around you.
Yeah.
But also yourself.
Yes.
That they happened kind of in partnership with one another?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I had people hear me many times before, but not at the same time that I heard myself. And the power of the two together, and I'm only just coming into awareness of this now, but the power of the two together was incredibly healing. It's like it lifted the clay, it loosened the clay.
Yes.
So that I could, yeah, I could begin to plant something new for my life. Yeah.
So over that year, Dusk, as you did this, what did you notice? What changed in you? What shifted?
So much. I think my value of myself, because my story was I grew up, I suppose, in a lot of environments where you had to do in order to be valued. So, I grew up in the church where service is highly valued, and your belonging to the community can sometimes be dependent on your service.
Yes.
And I grew up as a woman, or, a girl in the 80s, and, a woman now impacted by our culture that still holds so much patriarchal shaping, where my value is around what I contribute to the world around me. It's around my capacity to mother.
Yes.
And so I had so much shaping. And as I sat on that porch swing, when I listened, at first that's what I heard. You need to do. And I was like, but I physically can't.
Yes.
I should be trying to have kids. But again, I can't even lift a cup. How would I? I'm not ready to lift a baby. So,
yes.
What I confronted was the way that I had found value in doing. I physically could no longer do, and I think emotionally I didn't want to anymore. And so I sat in this time of feeling like I had nothing to give for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And I was okay.
Yeah.
The world didn't fall apart. No one fell apart, in fact. And instead I was met with love by my community, not because of what I did, but simply because I was.
Yep.
And I remember waking up each morning and I would say to myself, before I even get out of this bed, like, I am of value. And I would say that to myself each morning, and I don't think I believed it half the time because my shaping was so strong. But slowly, with each whisper in the morning, and each cup of tea, as I sat with what was underneath all of that shaping and the love that surrounded me, I think it shifted my understanding of my place in the world and how I had to be within it.
Yes.
Yeah. That I could just be within it.
I find it interesting, Dusk, that the journey of finally doing the deep listening to your own story and your own soul, you've just described them as leading you to places of self-valuing and love. It sounds like they have become foundations for living out of a very different centre for you. What's that been like?
A constant battle.
tell us a bit about the battle.
Yeah. I think that they will always be my dance partners.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm 40 next year, which is very exciting. But I've had these decades of shaping around, you know, what I'm expected to be in the world. And I'm just at the beginning of actually redefining that on my own terms. Yeah. And so, you know, I guess I've had 6 years of or 7 years of living into this story since those cups of tea on the porch swing. And I'm deeply passionate about it. And I, you know, a lot of the work that I do through the Listening Squad and the Listening Mama is inviting people to hear their inner voice, because the voices that shape us, they're not truthful. They're not always truthful about who we are. And so even though I'm so passionate about it, I think it's, it's something that I walk with. And I've just run another round of Coming Home, which is a program where I hold space for people to awaken their inner voice and embody and live out of their deep knowing. And I'm on the seventh round, but every time I do it, I participate just as much as I hold space. And part of the invitation is that I talk about is that, you know, we're shaped by all these voices, and so often what we can't hear is our own. And when we finally stop to hear it, what we hear is that it's screaming, "You're enough."
Yes. Yes.
And yet even this morning when I was sitting in silence and journaling, I stopped and I listened to what my inner voice was saying, and that's what it was saying.
Yes.
And so I feel like it's not an end, like it's not a place that I can achieve, but it's this almost this constant place I return to. Yeah. Of valuing myself and allowing the love around me to pierce through. And often over the last couple of years, you know, I can live really close to home.
Yes.
And other times I get distracted and, you know, it's like when you go for a drive and you realize you've driven to your work when you were actually meant to be going to an appointment.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I'll think, "Oh, whoops, I'm in the wrong place." And then I turn around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dusk. Yep. Dusk, I think one of the things that's really helpful about this is I think we've been so immersed in the culture of the kind of Hollywood ending.
Yes.
That what's supposed to have happened is that once you've spent your year on the porch, that's all resolved. You now know that you are perfectly loved and perfectly valuable and you are absolutely enough, and you go and change the world.
Yeah.
But actually, we know it's not like that, that in fact the places that form our passion and creativity most are our own unfinished working edges. And so while you give this lovely gift to the world, it's one that needs your own constant ongoing vigilance and attention.
Yes.
And it will still be a battle, and there will still be resistance. In fact, Dusk, that might be an interesting place for us to go. What do you do when you find yourself again skirting around yourself and reluctant to go there? How do you now, as one who likes to listen to yourself, what do you do in those moments? How do you process that?
Yeah. I like to think of it as kind of there's two parts. There's self-holding and then collective holding. And I think we need both. So that capacity to listen to myself on my own, but also to have spaces I can go to where I will be accompanied in listening to myself.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, as you know, this year I've been studying spiritual companionship, and as part of the course we are to have our own spiritual companion where we go and they guide us in listening to ourselves. And I resisted it all year. I resisted this holding space. And when I had a session with my supervisor, and she said, "Oh, okay, tell me more about why you don't, you know, you haven't seen someone." And she said it with such gentleness. And I just said, "Because even though I hold space for so many others, I don't feel like I deserve to be held."
Yeah. Dusk. Yes. Yes.
And then as soon as I had named it,
yep,
I was ready to seek out someone to hold me. But it was holding that untold story.
Yes. Yes.
And then as soon as I named it, I had already shifted, and I rang my old spiritual companion from years before, and she fit me in a few weeks. And then the last two sessions I've had have held deep shifts within me, but I don't think I was ready for it.
Yeah.
So as soon as I was able to almost name what I had felt shame about, the shame no longer held that power over me, and I was able to then receive what I was looking for.
Yeah. So it is a dance between listening to self and having other people in that safe holding space with you who are listening to you.
Yeah.
Because I guess, Dusk, inevitably, when we've got these tributaries in the undercurrents of our life that have so entrenched their message of we are not valuable, then there are times when we will get stuck, we'll get captive to them again. And we just need companions to ask the simple question, what's that about? And we actually find that we are able to re-befriend our own story again
and
get on with the journey of our own listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, there's so much about self-care and, you know, doing it all on our own. And yes, you know, we need both the self-holding and the collective holding. But when we've been silenced for so long, it is so hard for people to find their voice.
Yes.
And especially when, you know, we've tried to name something and it's been shut down. You know, to go again and to go again, it's so scary.
Yes.
It's such a vulnerable thing to bring our story in the space between us and another person and not know if they're going to pick it up and hold it.
Yeah. So with all that scariness and resistance, Dusk, why continue to give yourself to the deep listening? What's its fruit in your life? Why persevere?
Oh, because it is the way. It's the only way. I think one of the questions you asked me as we prepared for this is, you know, what's on my heart most to say? And I sat with that and I thought, I don't know. And then, you know, all the head thoughts just rolled in, but then from my heart, just this resounding Listening heals.
Listening heals.
Listening heals. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I think about all of the moments in my life where I've been deeply heard, and it's like I've been just, you know, given medicine and rest and embrace, and the what I've encountered in that space is so, it's a balm to the soul when I've been deeply heard. And so I see that in my own life. And now as I hold space for others and I hear, I have the beautiful honor of hearing their stories, I can't put words to it, but all I know is that in bearing witness, we transform.
Yes.
The person that is heard and the person that hears.
Yes. So, Dusk, either from your own life experience or from your practice of listening to others, this is a question without notice. Is there a story you can tell us where listening has healed?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. I mean, I feel like I could reach for hundreds. But the one that I've been thinking about, which you will have, you've heard from my presentation on my essay, is from my own birth, where I was really heard. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been reflecting on this because I've written my essay on bearing witness mm-hmm. for my course. Mm-hmm. But when I was 40 weeks pregnant with my daughter, Skylar,
yes.
I went into labor, and I had a very long early labor. So kind of on Monday, things started happening and, you know, I sent out the text to the women who were holding space for me, light the candles,
yeah.
you know, read the blessing, it's time. Then a day later, blow out the candles. Nothing's happening. 2 days later, light the candles, blow them out. Like it was this just days and days of stop, start labor.
I feel exhausted just thinking about it, Dusk.
It was quite a lot. And on Thursday, my midwife came over and she said, Dusk, you're on the journey of labor, but you've got a way to go. Mm. So just, you know, just rest. And so, you know, I was having contractions, you know, every now and again. And then on Friday, they ramped up to kind of every 20 minutes. So I'm like, okay, it's happening, it's happening. And I couldn't sit down for them. So I was standing most of the day and night.
Wow.
And then on Saturday, they were every 10 minutes apart. So, you know, okay, it's happening, it's happening.
Wow.
And then the sun set and then it rose again on Sunday and the contractions were 5 minutes apart. So 3 days of
yep.
consistent labor, waiting, wondering, weariness.
Yes.
And one of my friends who is a midwife caught wind that I'd been wrestling with this for a long time, and she sent me a message and said, you know, do you want me to come over? And I said, yes, please. And so she came over at about 8 o'clock and she sent my partner to bed because he'd barely slept alongside me. And she just said, Dusk, we are going to bring your baby down. And she just was with me. She just was with me in what was my absolute weariness, mm-hmm. my wondering if I could go on. Mm-hmm. And she just held me. She hand-fed me. When I had my contractions, she helped me, you know, move in such a way that would bring my baby down. Mm. And still, you know, at about 1 a.m, so after, you know, 5 hours, still 5 minutes apart, she was just holding me in the center of my living room and she said, Dusk, what are you afraid of? Mm. And in that moment, everything that I had been through over the last 9 months just rose to the surface. And I had been walking with my mum in her journey of end-stage cancer, and I knew that she wouldn't be with me to see my baby grow up, but she was still with us. And so I was holding, you know, I had walked the precipice of death all year, and now I was trying to birth life.
Yes.
And I was stuck in between. And so when my friend said to me, you know, what are you afraid of? My answer was death. And then I just wept. And she just held me. And in that moment, I just let all the fear fall away. It washed out of me. I wept it out. I let it out. I just released the goodbye that was to come.
Yep.
So that I could welcome my daughter into the world. But I couldn't go there on my own. I had been walking in that dark place all week, but it wasn't until my friend held me and was completely with me and then asked me that question and sat with me in my unfolding that I could be with myself in a way that felt safe.
Yes.
Where whatever arose to the surface, it would be held by another. Yeah. And then I transitioned into active labor.
Wow.
Because I was ready. I was ready to meet my daughter now. Yeah.
Dusk, what I find most moving about that story is the awareness that we often think of listening as being something we do with our ears. But the story you've just told feels like an embodied listening.
Yes.
That your friend was, you said a number of times, present with you and held you.
Yeah.
And out of that experience after 5 hours came the question that enabled some movement to take place. So could, do you want to say a bit more about your experience of listening as not just being a listening to another's story with your ears, but this kind of deeply attentive embodied presence?
Yes. For me, I think of it as so many things, but the language that I'm playing with at the moment is bearing witness.
Bearing witness.
Bearing witness, because you're right, it's so much more than just someone speaks and we hear and we respond. It's a willingness to hold someone's sacred truth and to be with them in the depth of their inner landscape, where for a time we hold presence, we hold vigil with the journey that they are on in that moment. And that whatever arises, we will be there to meet it. And that there's no judgment. And just absolute presence, love, respect, and honor. Yeah. And to hear someone's story, it is such an honor, but always to reflect back that you've heard them, that what they've experienced is significant, and that we honor them for all that they've lived, for all that they hold, and for all that they are. To me, that is what I think of when I speak of listening.
For some of us, Dusk, and you have foreshadowed this already in your own story, to go that deep with yourself or with someone else is really quite frightening for us. So have you got some insights as to how we hold or move with, or I don't want to say how we get rid of that fear, because I think the fear is really important, but how do we not let it define us?
I think we need to meet people where they're at. And I think of like when I first started counselling, and I genuinely feel like we talked about the weather for a year.
Yep.
I think giving people time.
Yes.
And it's so challenging in, you know, in this day and age where, and I feel the pressure of it too, where, you know, we're so time poor. But to say with, you know, to walk with someone for, you know, for years with no expectation that we'll go to the deep place, you know, I think that creates a sense of safety.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think letting people engage with the space as they are able, because they need to choose, you know, we need to choose what level we're comfortable sharing, what feels safe for us. And finding the people that do feel safe.
Yes.
And they're often not the ones that we would expect.
Yes.
And even just, you know, I just remember in the midst of a lockdown going to the supermarket. I wasn't even in a lockdown, and I was, you know, I'd worked all day and then I'd mothered, and then I went to the supermarket at 10 p.m. at night, which is a rare thing for me. And the person at the checkout, I must have, you know, people say, oh, how are you? And then you tell your life story, at, you know, as you're having your items scanned.
Yes.
And just this beautiful man just said, make sure you look after you, because you matter.
Oh, you don't expect that from your supermarket.
It blew me away. And I just thought, I mean, you know, it wasn't like I was going to go back and say, can we be best friends and you hold space for me? Yep. But I think safe holding comes in unexpected places.
Yes.
And sometimes they surprise us, and sometimes we need to seek them out. And I don't know if that fear of being unmet ever goes away, if it's been a huge part of our story. But every experience where we are met,
yes,
brings a new knowing that we can be met.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And relinquishing that terrible imprisonment that we ought to listen perfectly. It is enough to listen enough, to listen well enough.
Yes, yes. And I had my friend Joe, who is my biz partner at the Listening Squad, every Thursday when we meet, we have about an hour where we just share about our weeks. And, you know, sometimes we're just laughing and other times we're crying. And it had been the anniversary of my mum's passing, and I just shared with her what that was like. And she said to me, oh, Dusk, I don't know what to say, but I'm so sorry. And I felt so heard. I felt so deeply met. And it eased, you know, it eased the pain.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And there was barely any words. And she didn't know what to say. And I didn't need her to say anything other than just that beautiful presence that she held for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's important, Dusk, in the listening way. One of the things that stops us is the expectation that we will find words to say. But deep, attentive listening is mostly not about finding words.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the more and more I explore and live into listening, I feel like the words is about 1%.
Yeah.
And so often when I think about the times I've been deeply heard, I cannot remember a single thing that was spoken. But I remember feeling so held and heard. Yeah.
There's just one other little tributary here I'd like to explore, Dusk, and then come back to you and your story. This listening thing, as you know well, is incredibly countercultural. Our culture is not built around deep listening to one another. And I sense we're deeply impoverished as a society as a result of that. I'm just wondering, what are you aware of that as a society we're not hearing that we need to hear if we are going to be healthy and well as a society? Is that a question you'd like to play with for a little bit?
Absolutely. Oh, it's a beautiful question. I truly believe that we would heal so much pain if we deeply listened on a personal level, on a cultural level, on an institutional level. And I often, you know how you always say, like when you're young, you're like, oh, if I could have a superpower, what would it be? Yep. Mine would be that we could listen to animals. Because I think that they have the answer to healing our earth.
Yes.
Because I just think we're not listening. We're not listening to the earth. We're not listening to the planet, the animals. No. And if we really listened, we wouldn't be living the way that we live. Yeah. In my work as a doula and a matrescence facilitator, if we listened to mothers and birth givers and parents, so much of what we encounter today would shift.
Yes. Yes.
Just the stories, that the untold stories that people are carrying, it takes such a toll. And I think if we had spaces where people were deeply heard in the significant moments of their life, you know, those transitions like, you know, giving birth, like farewelling a loved one.
Yes.
And I remember the first time a close friend lost a parent, I just disappeared because I didn't know how to hold space for her.
Yep.
And I just think what we learn at school does not equip us for the deep parts of life. It equips us in how to do, but not how to be with one another.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if we learn how to hold space for one another during crisis and trauma, I think we push all of that towards psychologists.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that psychologists are there, and they, you know, mine have been like saved my life.
Yeah.
Changed my life. But we need more than just to live our lives and have a weekly psychologist appointment. We need people to listen to us, you know, as we become and as we lose, as we grow, as we stall. And if we were able to deeply listen in every layer of society, and I'm just speaking to the ones that I move through.
Yes.
Then I think we would be living in a very different world. Yeah.
So what's your dream, Dusk? I mean, a lot of us do feel the call to listening. I don't know anybody else who set up a website called The Listening Squad and does podcasts on the listening way. So what's your dream?
My dream is a world where every single person is heard. That's our vision at the Listening Squad. I don't I don't know how it can happen, but, you know, I think my work is centered around just this quiet, tiny listening revolution.
Yes. Yes.
Where we would all embrace the parts of us that are listeners. Because so often people say to me, oh, I'm such a bad listener. And I'm like, I literally just felt so heard by you.
Yes. Yes.
But we need to find our own unique way of listening.
Yeah.
And some people listen through joy and they're loud and bubbly and it's fun. You know, others hold deep space where, you know, there's movement and inward shifts where you find rebirth within yourself. But if we could all embrace our own listening way and meet one another, I imagine if in one generation,
yes,
we no longer carried untold stories within us.
It would be a revolution.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So that's our hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect segue for me to ask you, Dusk. I know we are always in formation. We're never finished product. But right at the moment where you sit today on this journey, how would you describe your listening way?
I knew it would change from this conversation. Previously, I have felt my listening way is presence.
Yep.
But just as we sit here, let me listen and see what rises to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's bearing witness to people's sacred stories.
Mm-hmm. Say more, Dusk, about bearing witness. That sounds really important. It's more than just attending, and it sounds like it's now a bit more than just presence. Bearing witness. Can you unpack it a bit?
I think there's so many layers to it. There's just the being fully with someone in the midst of what they share. I think there's something around being willing to sit with someone within the light of their life and the shadows.
Yep.
And it's taken me a long time to be able to sit with my own and therefore be able to sit with others in theirs. Yeah. And then I think there's that presence that's not just about I'm here, you're here, but that we are here together in the deep places within.
Yes.
And within the mystery that holds us. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And then I think of people's sacred stories as just, you know, not necessarily these big high Hollywood moments, but just moments in the everyday where their life shifted.
Yes. Yes.
Where they felt alive, where they felt desolate, where they felt pain, where they felt hope, where they just encountered life in all of its fullness. But every person is sacred, and so their story is sacred.
Yes. And because it's a participation in this great mysterious gift of life, every moment can be sacred story.
Yeah.
That needs to be heard and befriended.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And witnessed.
And witnessed.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that we are fully seen by another. even just for a moment.
Hmm. There's something about the word witnessed, Dusk, and I don't want to go where you're not going, but there's something about it not only being known and held and present to it, but there's something about it being named, validated, yes. Not just discovered, but disclosed somehow. Yes. I don't know if that resonates for you.
It does. I think there is something so powerful about saying something out loud.
Mm.
Because when you've admitted it to yourself,
yep.
there's, you know, there's an honesty. But when it has been spoken, there is, you can't go back from that. You know, there's an accountability, there's a holding, there's, it changes something in the way we move through the world when we are able to name something and have it received and welcomed yes. and acknowledged.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And something shifts.
Yes.
And in some yes. respect, as you were saying before, we are healed.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Absolutely. Mm. It's such a gift.
Such a gift. Yeah. One of my all-time favourite listening quote, Dusk, is to listen another's soul into a condition of discovery and disclosure is perhaps the greatest gift any human being ever does for another.
Mm. Beautiful.
Mm. And that just seemed to me to echo what you were saying.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Dusk, for people wanting to explore or play with this listening way, what are some starting points?
That's a great question. I think first to embrace that you are a listener. We are all listeners.
Mm.
And maybe we don't know what our listening way is, and that's okay. But to begin to just claim, I am a listener, you know, and I have the capacity to hear another.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
And then I think there's, you know, along the way I used to have little cheat things that I did, because when I carried my untold stories inside me, I took up a lot of space. I was so loud. And as I began to transition out of that, I had to break a lot of habits. And so some of the things I did was I would say to myself, just listen, you know, I'd be out and I'd go, you already know your stories.
Mm.
They've been heard. Let others speak, hear others. And then as I began to kind of hold, you know, be able to integrate and hold space for myself and others, then I would say to myself, ask one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Just one more question. And often I'll see that even in circles where someone will share and I'll ask a question and they'll respond and then I'll ask them one more. Because so often we're conditioned to go, okay, I've taken up enough space now, and yes. we do this nice, pretty bow.
Yes, yes.
But to actually just pull at that bow and ask yep. one more question, and if yes. they want to,
yes,
and then, you know, the depth unfolds. Yeah. And then just be undistracted, you know, yep. turn the phone on silent, give people an extra hour. And just see what arises in the space.
Yes. Yes.
And find places for our own untold stories.
Yeah.
So that we can be met ourselves.
Mm.
And then we can meet others.
Mm. Mm. That's a beautiful summary, Dusk. And I love the invitation to recognize that we are all already listeners.
Yeah.
And the journey doesn't start with expertise. Maybe it starts with 5 minutes on the swing on the porch just while we have our cup of tea. Maybe that's all we can do when we yeah. start. But inviting ourselves to keep listening, keep practicing, and allow it to go deep into us and become part of our story.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. Mm.
Dusk, what haven't you said that you would love to say before we finish?
Just if anyone is holding untold stories within them, just that you are of so much value and what you have lived is so important, and to find people and places to be heard, and then you can meet yourself within it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Dusk. Thank you for sharing yourself, your story, your heart, your passion for this with us in this podcast. There is a lot more depth to mine on this journey. There always is, but this has been gracious and wise space, Dusk. And I'm grateful, and those listening in will be grateful for the gift.
Well, thank you so much for holding the space. It's been really beautiful to reflect. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Dusk.
If you resonated with my listening way, you can explore my work at The Listening Squad and The Listening Mama. Over at The Listening Squad, Jo and I invite you to connect deeply with yourself, your work, and one another. We run Coming Home, a 6-week group program to recognize, reawaken, and embody your inner knowing. We host The Nurturers, a 1-day workshop to strengthen how you listen to others and nurture your listening way. And we offer strategic and business support to small business owners to hold space for your vision so you can bring it to life. Over at The Listening Mama, I hold space as a birth doula, supporting women and birth givers through the emotional landscape of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. And I run Matrescence programs, inviting people to reflect on their experience of motherhood and womanhood, parenthood and personhood, and how that has shaped their identity. You can find out more about this in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to explore your listening way, we are curating a downloadable resource that brings together the wisdom from all the guests in this season. You can find it through our website, thelisteningsquad.com/podcast. We love hearing your reflections too, so feel free to message us on Instagram at The Listening Squad. We dream of a listening revolution where every person is heard. So how could you listen to yourself or someone today through your listening way?